Hi, I'm Sharon Tobias, the president of the Blue Lake Springs Beach and Water Company. I'd like to welcome all of our shareholders to our annual shareholder meeting. Should we do the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, justice for all.
So the first item is the introduction of the board. Today we have President, myself, the President, Bruce Utter, who's the Vice President until I think this meeting ends. Bill Cover, who is our Treasurer and Secretary. John Dashner, who's here in the room with me, and Craig Lutz, who's also in the room, and Jeff Jones. Right over the most important thing. I'm sorry. So that is our board at this time.
And present today is Kathy Powell, myself, Tyler Mayo, and our other employees are out doing the business. So we have no guests present today. Bruce, you're right on the cusp of being a guest, but not till this meeting's over.
I wasn't sure whether I was on or off the board as of this moment.
Well, I consider you're on the board until we get a final election. So, anyway.
Yeah.
That being said, our quorum present by Mr. Jeff Jones. Here you have a report for us.
I do. The report is, and the short version is, we do not have a quorum. As spokesperson for the Director of Elections, I'm reporting on if we have a quorum present and the results of the election. Quorum is the minimum number of voting members necessary to properly conduct this business. This number is calculated by subtracting the 43 delinquent accounts we've got from the 2,040 shareholders, equaling 1,997 eligible votes. If you remember, we backed down the required number of votes to 20%. So 20% of the shareholders in good standing are needed for a quorum, which equals 400. As of this morning, we have 310, but we do not have a quorum. But we're short 90 votes. And the last time I saw it, I think he said we still needed 100. So you got like 10 more.
We got a few more. I think we're down to 86 now. We need 86 more.
What do we do? We don't do anything until we have a quorum.
So we can do at this meeting, we cannot conduct business, but we can give the reports from myself, from the general manager, and the treasurer. And then
we'll extend the voting up until the next board meeting. So we give them a little bit more than another 30 days as of today. And hopefully we'll reach it by then. I believe it was about 3 years back, the same thing happened. And then after the next meeting, if we still haven't reached the quorum, we have the choice to either extend it further or we appoint at that point.
All good questions. So we're going to move on from we cannot approve the minutes from the previous annual meeting. So we're going to move on to the President's report. Write it out or I won't remember all the things I want to say. So it's been an honor and pleasure to serve as president this past year. It's been a very quiet year for the water company after years of all the major infrastructure improvements. Our water supply is in very good shape. As you all know, we have an agreement to purchase water from Calaveras County Water District, which helps to preserve our water supply. Tyler has continued to work closely with CCWD to ensure that we can plan for any upcoming increases from CCWD to our water rates. The water company staff completed several projects last year, infrastructure improvements on Borough Court, cleaning of Tank 6, which stores half our water supply, and a lead line inventory project required by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Our GM will present more information on those projects in his report. As part of the water company, we have four committees in which the board, shareholders, and the GM participate. And it's important to note for any interested shareholder that they are welcome to get involved by joining a committee. It's a great way to get involved with the water company and eventually move on to a director position. That's how I got my start. Anyway, these committees are the Finance and Rates and Investment Management Committee, Infrastructure and Facilities, Personnel, Water Supply, Conservation, and Outreach. So this past year, the Finance and Rates and Investment Management Committee were combined. The committee is led by Director Craig Lutz and includes Bill Cover and John Dashner. They met several times in the fall, working closely with Tyler to recommend our new base rate and consumptive charge based on the price of water that we make, as well as the water purchased from CCWD. We purchase about half our water from CCWD. This committee also oversees the water company investments so they stay on track and make recommendations to the board for changes in investments. These investments help us meet our financial needs for upcoming projects in both the near and distant future. Thanks to the committee members. You should think I know everyone. Craig, Bill, and Dave, and John. The next committee is the Infrastructure and Facilities Committee, also led by Director Craig Lutz, and includes Directors Bill Cover and Dan Crosby, and the GM. This committee looks at projects needed to be performed for improvements to the water system, and most of these projects are outlined in our capital asset management plan. And again, thank you to Craig and Bill and Dan for your work on that committee. The Personnel Committee consisted this year of Directors Bruce Utter and Jeff Jones. This focuses on the compensation and benefits for the water company employees with input from the GM. I'd like to, again, thank Bruce and Jeff for sticking that one out and working on that process with Tyler. The Water Conservation and Outreach Committee is led by Jeff Jones and includes myself and staff. I actually don't know that we met last year. We did not. So I'd like to take the job, but maybe it's not needed. Anyway, I want to thank all the directors for serving on the board and for volunteering for these committees. You're a treasured asset, and your help with the water company and help the water company remain in track for the future. I appreciate all the time and effort that you give to the water company. And I've learned a lot from everybody on this, all the directors that we've had over the years, and especially all of you who are here in this room or on Zoom. So I'd like to, we have two board members who this will be their last meeting as a director. They'll be interested shareholders or interested bystanders. I'd like to think they'll be very interested shareholders. Dan Crosby and Bruce Utter, who served on the board for six and four years, respectively. Dan was on the Investment Management and the Infrastructure and Facilities Committee during his time. And Bruce was on the Personnel Committee during his entire time on the board. I learned so much from both Dan and Bruce over the years as they shared their experience and perspective with the board, and I wish them both the best. I'd like to recognize Tyler Mayer's efforts as the general manager, as I felt that we had another successful year. His strong leadership shows through to the hard work and dedication of all the employees and the care and service they provide to all our shareholders. It's easy to take for granted the simple concept of turning on a faucet and the water just flows out. The fuel crew work around the clock all year to make sure the water stays flowing even when the power goes out. The office group provides excellent customer service to our shareholders on their account and any questions that arise. It's so easy to forget what goes on behind the scenes. Tyler also continues to plan for the future while coordinating with all the committees so things stay on track while managing all the day-to-day activities. So thank you to Tyler and your team for all your hard work this year, keeping the water flowing. I'd also like to thank Jeannie Moltop, excuse me, Jeannie, for always volunteering at the office for whatever needs to be done, including assisting with our elections. As you've heard here today, we did not receive a quorum for the election. We have two options. Please vote online through our website, as well as for using the ballot that was mailed to your address in May. We need your vote so we can elect a new director to serve another term as well conduct business at the next shareholder meeting on July 10th. Thank you for voting. And thank you again to the directors who have served and hopefully will be serving on the board next year. Thank you. I think next is our general manager report.
Sorry, thank you for.
Okay, so I want to remind the shareholders that, as you have said, we did not have a quorum today. So we will be extending our elections until July 10th, which will be the next meeting that will be held here at the office. So please send in your proxies. It was mailed out on the 1st of May. If you still have it, you can go ahead and mail that back. We also are offering it online. And if you've misplaced it and you're here in Arnold, you're more than welcome to swing into the office. We have ballots sitting out for somebody to fill out and turn in. We also have really put a lot out to put it on our website and try to attract people to the website in the easiest way possible. So we placed many flyers throughout town. And mainly where our shareholders will be, which would be the Blue Lake Springs Lodge. We have them at Sequoia Woods Country Club. We also have them down at Flying Acres. And then we have them on our bulletin board here outside the office if you come by after hours. And then there's also on the other two town bulletin boards, one at the post office and one at Big Trees Market. And those all have the flyer out, which is currently shared up on the screen right now. We try to make it as easy as possible. If anybody knows how to use a QR code, you just take a picture of it. It'll show you the link to the website. You go ahead and select that, and it takes you directly to your voting area. It's, I believe, a four-step process as I looked at it. It is fairly simple, but if you have any questions or don't have your web ID, you can go ahead and call the office and we can help provide you. Another reminder to the shareholders, and we have a lot have responded with the cross-connection control survey. If you haven't completed one, we do have extras of those here in the office, as well as it's on our website. So if the shareholders could try to complete those, we will be offering those for almost a year. So we just need to help compile what's out there and what we're trying to complete through our cross-connection control plan before we have to do the implementation of the cross-connection control. Lastly, and another reminder for the shareholders, if you haven't been here for a while, to please flush your home. That includes the water pipes and your hot water heater. That's probably the normal water complaint we hear at the beginning of the summer, because most people haven't been here all winter and they come up and the water has gotten quite stale in the house. So just be sure and flush it, and that'll ensure you have a good water quality.
Just a question about the election. Are we allowed to go to, rather than just a broadside to all members asking for people to vote, can we go and say our records show you that you haven't voted and it's important that we get a vote from you? Can we select the people who have not voted?
For the ones we do have contact with, the issue we always have is the contact information for whether it's a phone call or email isn't current. We do have what we call our email blast. So we do have a way to email what contacts we have. But because we do have a large changeover in home buying and selling in Blue Lakes, typically we find the majority of the people, the phones aren't up to date. So cold calling is very difficult. And until we see people at the home, let's say on a holiday weekend, it also is difficult to have that many people at the residence to drop something off to them or to solicit them to try to vote.
So I think the answer to the question is yes, we can yes. contact them.
It's we just... can contact some of them. It just won't be all of them out there. Yeah, I don't believe we have 1,400 more contacts, except for mailing. And mailing is the only one that we do have all contacts.
Yeah, I'd like to avoid that. It's just so expensive.
And that's the other way. We've already put out quite a bit of money for the mailers, and it is a very expensive. So reaching out through social media, reaching out by flyers throughout town mm-hmm. seems to be one of the better ways. Offering it on our website, it's worked for multiple years. I was just very surprised to see this year that we fell short by nearly 100.
I'm just thinking with only 83, I think, votes to get, if you came to me and said, we need votes, I'm probably going to file it somewhere on my desk and forget about it. But if you say you haven't voted yet and we need a vote, I'm more likely to respond, I think.
Okay.
What did you think of the flyer? Do you think that said what you wanted to say or?
Yeah, I think it was good. But again, that was addressed to everybody, I think, wasn't it?
Are we going to put a big sign up when they enter, like, we need your vote?
Yes, and then that would be the same. Yeah, that that flyer, I can turn that into a banner. We were going to put that on the 4x8 as you enter Blue Lakes.
Yeah.
Does the flyer have a QR code on it so you can scan it and get to the website? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as well as the banner that will be up there as we go into Blue Lakes. So, yeah, we'll be working on getting that banner here and then start posting the flyers tomorrow.
And if we get halfway through June and we still don't have a quorum, Annalisa and I can call a few people and maybe we can get the quorum that way.
You know, and maybe we print postcards and leave them at their door and hoping they come up 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty busy weekend, right?
Before,
a week before, but that's like the last ditch effort.
Right.
Yes. So we'll do our outreach and we'll see where we end up. And then if we have to, we'll cold call and go door to door.
You can't say that if you don't vote, we'll shut your water up.
Unfortunately,
we talked about that.
We don't have our legal counsel. We're not going to discuss that. That's the other business to come before the meeting. We can't talk about.
So over 2024 and 2025, the office staff and I have been working. Or had worked very hard on getting the lead service line inventory completed, which is required by our State Water Resource Control Board and the EPA. This is just to compile a list to try to make sure that there's no lead out in the system or on the shareholders' homes. So hopefully to keep any health or Flint, Michigan type issues happening. As we did our study and dug up many services to verify, we have no lead in the system. Everything that was done during the project was well after the lead ban date, so there's just really not a way to purchase anything in California anymore with lead in it. So that does make it very helpful, but there were, I would say, about 300 homes that fell under the old pre-1986, and we had to go visually inspect. But as of when we finished this, there was none out there. So that was very good. Another study that we're currently working on, and we've been working really close with our cross-connection control specialist to implement the cross-connection control policy and the cross-connection control plan, which we approved in the last board meeting. And since then, Garrett and I have finished the plan, and it's been sent off to the state and it's accepted. So from here on out, it's trying to get the surveys. And then in 2026, we'll be implementing prevention for cross-connection control where we find it. Currently, we only have 4 double-check valves in the system. There's the Blue Lake Springs Lodge and then our connections to CCWD to ensure there isn't any cross-control happening there. Moving on to what we've done in the field for this year. Here's our main tank, tank 6. It's at the reason I say it's the main tank, it's at the highest elevation, and it can serve the entire community if needed. So by taking this tank offline when we had to do our repairs was quite the endeavor, to say the least. We go ahead and next slide. So here's the beginning of the tank cleaning there inside and scaffolding and acid washing the walls in this picture. This is the very beginning. This is before they showed up to do any of the cleaning, the repairs, or the coating in the tank. We had to set temporary tanks, which were loaned to us from CCWD at no cost, which was, we're very grateful for that because those tanks are very expensive. The second picture there is where we had to make the connection from our pumping line in onto those tanks. So right where Wes's foot is where we had to sever that pipe, install a new 90 and a kicker to ensure that it wouldn't pop off throughout the months that we were going to be using these tanks. And here's a picture of Vince on the left where we had installed that 90 and ran the pipe up out of the ground, and then it was going to have to run across the surface of the ground there over to the tanks until completed. The second picture is just showing how we backfilled it. Where that 45 is on the end, we were able to put another cap on that and then put a box over it. So if for some reason in the future we need to put in temporary tanks, this is all in place and should be a much smoother endeavor if we ever have to go down that road again. This is the cribbing and the plumbing that was going into the tanks. As we would turn on the pumps, you'd have quite a bit of force that would thrust into those tanks. And the first few times we did it, they actually would move. So we put in this cribbing and on the backside, more cribbing to make sure that those tanks wouldn't move and we wouldn't have any issues throughout the time that these tanks were in use. And here's the back cribbing that we placed and bolted to the cement pad up there. The second picture there is where we had to run the SCADA over so we could see the levels in those tanks and control it in a digital way instead of having to go up there and constantly press a button. I believe those tanks were filling anywhere from 3 to 6 times a day. So that would have meant somebody would have to go out there at least 2 or 3 times a night to ensure that subdivision didn't run out of water. So linking it into the SCADA was very important to be able to do this project and not have to have the staff out there at all hours of the night.
Is that SCADA wireless, or does that have to have a cable connection?
The cable connection just runs over to the building that holds it, and then it has a radio antenna there, and then that sends the signal around the subdivision. So here's where they're staging to go inside of the tank, the picture on the left. Getting ready to do the cleaning. As we entered the tank after we dried it all out, you could really start to see some of the iron and manganese buildup that was happening in the tank. And this was one of the main reasons we were going in to clean it, was kind of where you see the pipe going across the floor there. That's our outlet pipe that was serving the community. Here's some more pictures of the walls where you can see the same scaling and the iron and manganese happening on the walls. And the iron and manganese shows up mainly because those are our two biggest minerals that are coming out of the wells. We do treat for it and pull it out, but it can't be removed 100%. So this is, oh gosh, almost 30 years of it being in there. So it took a while for this to build up. There's the fitting on the floor, and that's fine. fitting on the floor, that same pipe, and then here's the inlet pipe coming in. You can really see the corrosion on the cast iron. And we also, probably about 4 years ago, the guide wire right there and float came disattached from the floor. So the external level on the outside of the tank was no longer working. We only had, we could send a sounder in there and would tell us how much water is in there or the SCADA. So when power was out and we didn't have SCADA, they had to manually climb that tank and check it with a sounder. So this was another important repair during this time. Here's where we were applying the coating on the floor. The floor is cement. Everybody knows cement's fairly porous and it had a few cracks in it. We weren't losing any large amounts of water, but because it was so difficult to take the tank offline, we felt it was well worth adding the coating on the floor for the extra insurance of not having a leak in the future. And in the picture on the right, you can see how when we pressure washed it and acid washed the tank, all of that scaling came off that main pipe. And then we actually coated the brackets so they'll no longer rust or have that iron and manganese buildup on them. And you can see here where we went up the walls, and that was where the seams of the panels are. This was just another extra insurance that once we put the tank back online, it wouldn't start leaking. So we sealed off those cracks. That's why you see the checkering. The picture on the right is one of the gentlemen from the company we hired to come in and acid wash the inside of the tank. It's hard to see there, but if you can see all the way over on the left, it's really dark. That was that same buildup that was in there. And to the right, where he's pressure washing, you can see where his finishing was and it's that blue color. And here was where we did the replacement of both of those fittings and coated the one on the floor. The other one had its own ceramic coating on it, so we didn't need to paint that one white. This is all the upgraded parts in there, so everything within that tank has been coated, cleaned, and all the parts.
Is that a new mechanical joint or just cleaned?
No, that's a brand new one. Yeah, we have probably about 8 usually on hand in the treatment plant. We felt it was best to do that instead of them sandblasting the old one, and there could still be pitting in it, and then trying to coat it themselves.
So the pipe was clean.
Yep, and the lower pipe, the black, is the cast iron pipe coming up through the cement pad, and then that's Schedule 40 pipe that runs up to the surface and then has a 90 on it. So when the water comes in, it helps swirl it within the tank and keep it mixed. The other large project that we did this year, almost immediately following the tank, was BoroCourt. We needed to replace the main and the services within BoroCourt. It was listed in our USDA project, but we fell short toward the end and weren't able to complete this project. The main reason this one needed to be replaced, one is right here in my hand. It is the old main that is in BoroCourt. It's truly about a Schedule 20 pipe. So it was an old pipe, very flexible, getting very brittle. It was about 50 years old. So replacing this with a Schedule 80 made it a little more than twice as thick and 4 times as strong. So this was the old
that
pipe.
That was it?
This is what's in there. Yes.
A drain pipe.
Yeah. And I don't know how that used to be an NSF approved pipe, but it was.
In 1967?
Yeah, back in the 70s or the maybe the 80s, but I think it was the 70s when BoroCourt.
Yeah, it's like half a Schedule 40.
Yeah.
And plus 160 maybe.
Yeah. It
is
way
solid
below
welded
this
or
900.
Is it push fit?
It's a glue. It's a bell glue fitting.
I know. You should be able to. Not maybe with a lateral line, but not with a main.
The other reason for doing that project was most of that main was running through 3 front yards out of the 6. So the pipe, the actual main was in the yard. We've had times where that main broke and it would do damage to the front yard. So getting it out of there and getting it in the roadway where it belongs was also a very important step of doing Boro Court. So here's where we made the connection to the main off of Greensboro. We had to do it at night because it's coming straight down from the tank. So if we would have shut off the water leaving tank 6, most of unit 10, most of unit 12, all of 11 and 13 would be out of water. So about half of our subdivision would have been out of water while we did that. So we did it in the middle of the night. The guys came out, did a great job exposing it. We did a cap into the main, put a saddle on it, and then put that new valve in there, the new 4-inch club valve. You can see, go back a little bit. We had to thump through the wall, and that made it go underneath Greensboro and come up into the edge at Boro Court, which saved us a lot in paving. The county was going to make us put back quite a bit in that area. So we got away from that by thumping it under the road, which most of Boro Court, we were able to do that, which is very nice. Here's where the pipe came out from under the road. In the lower part of the picture there on the left, you can see where the pipe came out. We have it sealed up and taped at that time, but this is the only trench we had to open up on the edge of Boro Court. And these are the pits that we would put the thumper into and then start it with compressed air. And it just would sit there and thump until it came out on the other side. We'd have to basically survey it and get it level and get it started into the wall. And it usually came out. Again, that picture, you can see in the background, there's the pit that we were going toward. So it would thump through. We back it out of there, and then we slide the pipe into the hole that it made. Here's just another picture of the pits that we would have. This specific one is the same one that you see here on the right. The pipe turns and goes through the left wall, and then a service line actually went through the back wall of it underneath the driveway so we could put their service box up there and not disturb their asphalt driveway.
Good job.
Mm-hmm. And these are some of the finished pictures as we were finishing up. This was that original open trench that we had with the gravel filled to the top. We did our compaction tests about a month ago now. And we passed all the compactions, so we're just kind of waiting for the county to finalize that last permit.
What size was this? That 2-inch?
Yes, 2-inch.
And how many homes?
Six. It's probably a little on the larger side for that. I felt it was best to just use the fittings were more readily available around here. So that was probably the toughest thing, was getting that much Schedule 80 pipe and all those Schedule 80 fittings. And then, of course, throughout the year, we do lots of different maintenance and upgrades to our system. Here's where we first started after Boro Court project, and we had a week. So this is the power building for well 3. The roof was starting to fail. Shingles were coming off. The bees were getting in there, and carpenter bees, and eating the wood pretty badly. So Vince, Wes, and I went ahead and tore off the old roof and put on a new one. So here's just another picture of Wes up there working on the roof. And the picture on the right is the finalized roof.
Yeah, beautiful job. Blends with the forest.
Yes. It's always the goal. This is an analyzer we have at the treatment plant. This is for the chlorinator. This analyzer analyzes the water that is coming out of the chlorinator. And then it talks to the chlorinator to tell it to open its valve more or slow it down, depending on the demand of chlorine that we need. This analyzer had been in there for about 12 years. When I first got here, this analyzer was installed. When we reached out to them for parts, because it was starting to act up, it was at that point they called it obsolete, and we needed to purchase a new one. They did not have parts for this analyzer anymore. So the next picture was the upgraded analyzer that we received from Bruce's friend from TG. TG Bales helped us get all of this stuff. So we'll go to the next slide. And here's the new analyzer. It has made the staff's job much easier with not having to constantly monitor the chlorinator. They can set it and leave the treatment plant for a few hours to go do other work and come back and check on it right after lunch. And then usually it'll finish up a couple hours after lunch and then the treatment plant shuts off. So by having this new analyzer, since then, the chlorine has stayed very steady. We don't have big fluctuations in it where we were having sometimes a higher chlorine residual and sometimes a little bit lower. We constantly have about two parts, as you see there. So by the time it reaches somebody's home, it's a little less than a part after detention time. These were two other items within the treatment plant that needed to be repaired. The one on the left, we call a flash mixer. With inside it has some fins, so when the water goes into it, and just below that, potassium permanganate and caustic are pumped into it. It sends the water into a spiral, so it mixes those chemicals into it. This started spraying water out of it one day, so we definitely need to get a hold of the second one. And currently, we have an extra on hand in case something else happens, so we have little to no downtime. The piece on the right is the pump for the chlorinator. It's a ground hose pump. They do go bad. That's probably the third one I've replaced on that chlorinator. Chlorine is very harsh chemical. And then when you clean it with muriatic acid. So between those two chemicals, it is very harsh on the impeller and the seals with inside the pump. And what had happened was the pump wasn't letting enough chlorine go into the pipe because it didn't have enough pressure pushing on it. We replaced that pump and everything is working.
Just a point of information, what does a pump like that run cost-wise?
That one's about $3,000. And it's just the lower unit. So the upper unit where you see ground hose, that part goes back onto it. It's that mm-hmm. lower plumbing unit that usually that has always had to be replaced. The upper part has never had to be
about 4 to 6 hours of manual labor. To...
Yeah, about four. Yeah, I'm getting pretty quick at them now. here's where we were replacing. These are G5 boxes. These are what you typically see in the middle of the road around Blue Lakes. We like to paint them blue because they're easier to find when there's a layer of snow over the top of them. And the reason we're repairing these ones is because in the wintertime, after years, the snowplow wears down the asphalt, and then they start to sit up just a little bit. And if their plow blade catches on it, they break apart, and they actually end up coming out of the asphalt and tearing up the ground. So we found one was broken in this batch, so we decided to just open up the hole and replace two there. The other one is still sitting. You can see it's recessed over there on the right. And then when they were finished, they cleaned up the rest of that rust on top and painted them blue.
So they're concrete boxes with traffic lids.
Yeah. So here's where we had a leak out in Unit 13, just to kind of give you guys an idea. Leaks don't always just lots of water flowing out of the ground. It's not always very obvious. This one was seeping up out of the valve area. Dan Crosby was actually on his walk and gave me a call and let me know that it was happening. So we went out and took a look at it. The next day, we dug it up, and this is what we found. So you can see where we have the square nut, the valve wrenches on it. Next to it, after the kicker, luckily, so we didn't have to chip away too much cement, the pipe had cracked, and it luckily did a full circle around it, so it wasn't fully severed. So we were able to chip away the cement. And then in the next picture, there's the full circle clamp that we were able to get on it, and then had to make sure that there was cement back around that valve just so it had its kicker back in place. So that's pretty typical of one of our main repairs that we do. Sometimes when it's a service line, it's obviously it's similar to that, but much smaller, about a 1-inch pipe. And then here's kind of what we're looking into the future doing for this year. We would like to go over to tank 4 and do this similar to the what we did in tank 6 for cleaning, doing repairs on the fittings, and coating across the floor. Also, we'll finish up Borough Court. Everybody was supposed to be connected by July 1st, so they still have about a month to finish. I think we have one left right now. After they're connected, we'll shut off the old main. We will remove the old services throughout the court and separate the old main from the main running, the 6-inch main running down Greensboro. Then we have two large backup generators. One is within the treatment plant and one is a trailer generator. Both of them need service. So we're having energy systems come out and service those generators, as well as the diesel motor within it, very large diesel motors. The other that we'll be doing is just our annual maintenance of hydrants and valves. As most of you have probably seen as you're around Blue Lakes, our hydrants are very nice compared to other ones I see. They're cleared away. Fire hydrant or the fire department, it's easy for them to find and operate. So we kind of pride ourselves with keeping on top of our hydrants and valves.
Because we have one right in front of our house, and you know, you only weed whacked right around your hydrant and do the rest of the area.
Yeah.
You could just extend it like
the neighbor. It's really nice. I mean, you notice when you drive around that you see all of the fire hydrants are easily accessed and in great shape.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a summer project that Evans Task Fire does. They hire a young man every summer to clean the brush around the fire hydrants. And I even clean the one across the street for me when it gets the slough of the bank, whatever.
Yeah, and that's usually what happens when they're set into the bank. The slough comes off the bank, and we clean them and take care of them every year. And we've seen the dirt fall down so much that the ears or the bonnet is barely showing on the hydrant. They get buried in dirt fairly quickly.
You do flow tests too?
Yes, we do a flow and a pressure test on it. And then lubricate all the caps and fittings as well as the stem. So we try to, like I say, stay on top of the hydrants and valves, and exercising the valves is a big one. You have to think of the valves as like a corkscrew, looks like a corkscrew going down in it. That does build up with rust. If you don't turn them annually, you may go out there one day and it will not turn. And that's no fun if you can't isolate the valves. We'll also do a little bit of high velocity flushing this year. We always do flushing. We try not to do a lot of high velocity flushing because it can stir sediment up that's within the main. But that's the reason for doing the high velocity flushing is getting that sediment out of the main. It improves our water quality drastically. When we've done it in the past, it helps with our TTHMs, our HA5s, and chlorine residual throughout the system. So the field staff will be going around and doing some high velocity flushing. So if you see a couple guys on the side of the road and water shooting 30, 40 feet down the road, you'll know what they're doing. And then we'll also continue to do the separation of the old mains from the new. We deemed it our cut and caps a few years back, and I think we have 22 left, so we have quite a few. We'll try to do some of the ones that are out of the roadway, so we don't have to worry about paving for this year. And that's kind of what we're looking forward to for this summer and fall.
Sounds great, Tyler. That's a lot of work you're going to do. Well, your crew will do.
So
next we have a treasurer's report by Mr. Comer.
Yes, treasurer's report is going to be very short and simple. Pretty much the letter we sent out to all the shareholders, instead of trying to, you know, do the budget day to day, I'm just going to summarize where we are. Like the 2025 budget is 1.8 million, 49,000 and some change, which is only a slight increase above the 2024 budget of $1.7 million. And we're under regulations. So the main source of our income has to come from shareholders. So to maintain a nonprofit tax status, we require 85% of the total income to be from shareholders. So we raised the base rate for residents, $18 for the whole year. So it'll be $663 for 2025. And that's very much less than actual inflation and inflation projections. It's almost minuscule. And we're going to keep the base rate for unimproved lots at $342. So that's the same as it was. And the only increase that may affect some of the shareholders is if you go above your allotment of 700 cubic feet, you'll be charged $2.25 instead of $1.90. We don't have any outstanding liens or anything against the company. We've paid all our debts. We don't have any past dues that we owe any of our contractors, et cetera. And we've made our loan payments to the USDA on time. And it looks like we have enough reserve money for anticipated maintenance in the future. And we do have some, I mean, I guess we'll call them infrastructure projects that we have planned. So we do have monies in reserve for those. So we don't anticipate any assessments or fees to any of the shareholders this year, additional than the normal charges. So that's pretty much the report. I think I just wanted to kind of stick to what we put in, in our year-end report for the annual report. But, you know, the cash flow changes based on when we receive monies and when we pay out money for our wages and costs. So that's pretty much it.
Thank you, Bill.
So no excitement's good news from the treasurer's report. So,
does anyone have community questions or not? I think the old minutes from the last time this happened, they did do question and answers, but they actually had more shareholders in present. So I want to thank everyone for being here today, and thank you all for all the work you've done. As Bob McGinnis would say, thank you for all the work you did and all the work you're about to do. So, does anyone have anything else to say? So I think the next thing we need is motion.
We just adjourn for today.
So I'm going to adjourn the meeting. We're going to adjourn the meeting at what time? 2:51. And we hope to see you all on July 10th. And Bruce, come back. You can come back.
You're on mute, which is probably a plan for you.
He told me off.